Hey guys, Butters from South Park here. Just want to make sure you have your parents' permission to be listening to this. You know, sometimes we talk about some pretty racy things, like boobies. Well, I guess I'd better get going now. Enjoy the show.
Please state your name.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Please state your purpose.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. Read reviews, choose your own commission plan, and learn more about Mark at markcharter.com.
Now, hear this.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Mark Charter.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more Adam Gray.
And Adam Gray.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to this week's podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. The band is back together as we re-welcome Adam Gray, who's... Dude, last week's podcast was jacked up. All sorts of jacked up.
I told Gray, Adam Gray, because Rob Gray did a very nice job of pitch hitting.
Which we need to get him back on.
But here's the deal. Rob Gray is like a little bit of the straight man, which is fine. Yeah. You know, he's got stories to tell. He's a journalist. He's all of that stuff. But I told Adam this week, I said, I don't want to admit this, but I felt like, you know, leg of the tripod was missing last week, and we need Adam Gray as part of this.
A leg of the tripod.
I don't disagree with anything he just said.
That reminds me of Austin Powers.
Yeah.
The little man, the mini me.
Am I mini me?
Something about, no, they remember the tripod joke in it?
No.
Get it?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about his Johnson.
You have two legs and a...
Yeah. Yeah, he's known to have a big schlong in that movie.
So.
But not only did we have a pinch hitter last week, but Thibodeau getting canned happened right when we were recording.
Yeah, it was a cluster. I do think we need to, when everything calms down, invite Rob back, because I know how to tweak him with story time with Rob Gray. Like, there's some stories of like Amsterdam, I believe, and stuff like that we could really get into.
You were totally distracted.
You were very unprofessional last week on the Fawcast.
He leaves for
just
5 minutes.
Completely unprofessional.
I'm working the sources, man.
I mean, it's a good thing Mark was here to keep it going.
For the record, I have never left midstream, so to speak, and now Chris has for sure, and Adam usually leaves every other week to go take a leak.
I think I had a decent reason to leave.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Not like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom.
But what's funny is I was thinking about this after the fact, because we don't record this live. You could have probably just paused it, right? And then come back and restarted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably could have, but yeah, you know, whatever.
You know.
It is what it is.
So how's your guys' week going?
Probably less busy than yours.
Oh, there's nothing going on here.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
I got to question why you were just this shill for the athletic department on this whole Hornacek deal. Am I not allowed to make jokes about that?
No, you can joke about whatever you want. I don't care.
You know why I'm ticked? Because I cannot any longer trademark the phrase horny ball. I was going with horny ball. I was going to make t-shirts.
He didn't want it.
It's not happening now.
Did you see the tweet that I think it was Preston tweeted at us?
Preston, if it's the same guy I'm thinking of, he's right up there in the Ted Flint level of guys I love on Twitter.
Great. But
if everybody could be like Preston and Ted Flint, oh, man.
I'm going to read this off right now.
Your life would be better.
He actually didn't tweet this out, but he forwarded it on to us on Twitter. A Teresa tweeted this. Best case scenario, ISU gets Jeff Hornacek and Applebee's can replace the Hoiberger with a hot dog and call it the Horn Dog.
I do like that.
I think that's solid.
That's a good one.
You've got a lot of good options with the Horn Dog, the Otzelberger. Mm-hmm. What would we do with Bryce Drew? The Drew Dog?
The Timeout Dog?
No. Stop it.
What?
Hey.
Does that go in the family?
Scott Drew is a great coach.
Loves his timeouts.
I called him well at Hilton.
Oh, yeah.
Damn well.
Scott Drew or Bryce Drew?
Bryce Drew is the candidate.
That's what, you know, an Otzelberger with a side of Bryce.
Okay, so.
Instead of fries.
Underwood? Yeah. How would you do the Brad Underwood?
Oh, man.
I'll list the candidates. Underwood, you've got
Prom.
Steve Prohm.
Oh, Prohm.
Prohm is how you pronounce that. From Murray State.
Hmm.
That would be more of a beer. The new beer on tap that has a heady Prohm.
The Prohm Ale.
On it. Yeah, that's more of a beer. The Otzelberger is easy. Like I said, though, the only way you do that is with the cheese from Wisconsin or from Washington aged
you do
2 years.
You do like the cheese inside of the burger.
Like a Juicy Lucy.
Yes.
What like about in Minnesota.
But doesn't
about.
Wouldn't he or the Horn Dog or whatever, isn't the point like they have to pick out their favorite? So like wouldn't Hornacek have to pick out like his favorite toppings on the hot dog?
In theory he would, but he doesn't want any part of us, so he's moot that point. It's who cares? He's not coming here, so he doesn't get something at Applebee's.
If he was, we're just talking hypotheticals here, because I don't think like Bryce Drew will get the job either.
What about Tad Boyle? What would we do for Tad Boyle?
Dude, that would be amazing. Gosh. I've been harping on Tad Boyle for 10 years now about his
You
greatness.
Don't want the word Boyle associated with food. That sounds gross.
Yeah, that does.
To me, that's the Boyle burger.
To me, that's like an appetizer that like explodes with like cheese in the middle. Like it's wrapped in like bacon and it just explodes.
It's just got pus in it.
Tad? His first name's yeah. Tad?
Yeah.
Tad.
You
went on a date with Tad
it's
Hamilton?
Like a, it's yeah. like a cheese ball, but it's like a really, really thin layer of... of the fried, you know, substance around like the cheese, so like it just takes very little for the cheese to just start spewing out of it.
It's one where you have to cut from like 6 feet away, so because it's just gonna squirt everywhere.
It's gonna get all over your face.
Do you guys have bratwurst fear? By the way.
Oh yeah.
Like when you take that first bite of the bratwurst and you're almost hesitant.
Been
to
there,
do
done
it.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're been there,
shot.
Done that. Yeah. The key to a good bratwurst I found over the years, because I'm a big fan of them, you gotta have the right bread. If you have, if you get like just a standard hot dog bun, it doesn't work. You've got to have like a good quality bun to go with the bratwurst, because that saves you from getting squirted in the eye with the bratwurst residue.
I could have, you saying squirted in the eye made me think about something. It's God's way of retaliation.
Wow.
Yeah. Go ahead and bleep that part out. By the way, kids, did you hear that warning at the beginning of this thing? So it is what it is. What is your guys, just out of curiosity, if you have to get a burger, a fast food burger, where are you going? Where's your go-to spot?
I don't get fast food burgers.
Ever?
Culver's. Not Culver's. Anymore. I'm too fat. I don't
do it very often.
Back in your pudgy days. All right, Culver's is solid.
Culver's, yeah. It'd be either Culver's. Back when I was in high school, it was Bebop's.
Bebop's.
Yeah.
Those would probably be my one and two.
Back when I was in high school, I mean, we have one option.
Yeah. McDonald's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Culver's is delicious.
It is really good.
They make a good burger every time I go there.
Yep.
It's fast food, but it doesn't really come across that way.
No. Mm. You know what makes you, like, it's almost like a marketing ploy, because when you order almost every time through the drive-thru, they make you pull up and park and wait.
Yeah.
Which gives you the impression it's not fast food. They're literally cooking my burger right now from scratch.
Yeah, they're actually making this
which
thing.
I'm okay with, you know.
What do you think about, I know it's not a burger, but Chick-fil-A. I'm a big fan of Chick-fil-A.
You know, I like Chick-fil-A because in this day and age, when you go anywhere where there's customer service, an aspect to it, you know, Wendy's is generally pretty good, pretty quick at the drive-thru window. Burger King's hit or miss. McDonald's is almost always awful. Just no matter where you go, they just don't get good employees. I don't know what...
Shots fired at Mickey D's.
Yeah, and I don't know what Chick-fil-A does, but they hire people the right way.
Yeah.
Because every time I've been there, which isn't a lot, but 4 or 5 times, super polite, super quick, thanking you, the whole deal. So who's ever training them there is doing an exceptional job.
You know what I think?
That's
annoying.
Why it's worth going there, because that's so rare.
I think that Cold Stone's really annoying, how they train their workers. Like, they start singing and stuff.
If you tip them.
You have to tip them.
No, like, where I go, like, they just sing to you all the time.
Someone probably tipped.
And it makes me uncomfortable.
You don't like when people serenade you with their voice?
When, like, there's, like, 4 high school kids, I'm just trying to get a damn cup of ice cream, and they're singing, like, stupid songs to me. I don't like that.
What's
it makes
annoying
me feel
is
uncomfortable.
What's annoying is when you do that, where when you go to any place where they sing, where the people doing the singing are clearly not wanting to do the singing.
Yeah, they're just doing it because they have to.
Hickory Park is one of those places.
Happy birthday. It's his best day.
Speaking of that, I cannot
Hickory
forget.
Park to you.
I need to wish a happy birthday to a very special woman in my life. Actually, she's not a woman. She's just a little girl. But my daughter, Hollis, turns 1 today.
Oh, happy birthday. So,
big one.
And she'll be listening with Mama later. So, Hollis, I love you. I'm happy you're 1, and be a good girl. There you go.
Oh, nice.
She'll hear Daddy's voice, and she'll
it's
go.
Touching. Dada. Hollis is a good name. I like that
Dada.
Name.
Everybody who's heard that name, Hollis honestly, Price. In this first year of her life, has said good things about that name.
Yeah.
I think people like
I think
it.
Of Hollis Price from Oklahoma. Remember him?
I think of Hollis Cook.
That's Hallis. That's
yeah,
not
I know,
Hallis.
But I still that's who I think.
I was ticked when I heard he was coming because I'm like, man, I don't want the name to catch on and be popular, but it is Hallis. You're right. So that's not spelled the same. Doesn't sound the same.
Hers is H-O-L-L-I-S.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hollis.
So what do you guys, what do you think about everything?
Anything happened this week?
I'll tell you what. A lot of it reminds me of the Big 12 realignment.
Mm-hmm. Where, just the hysteria.
Yeah, where I honestly, and this is going to kill you for me to say this, but I like to be informed, but I have to step back sometimes because there's just so much information coming from all so many different angles. That
noise.
That I pretty much, I would say I tune a lot of it out just because I don't like to play the emotional roller coaster game that is a coaching search and
yeah.
everything like that, which I know you being in the trenches, you have no choice. You have to be there.
Yes.
You have to cover from all angles. It's interesting. I personally think it's going to be TJ. I personally hope it's going to be TJ. I just think it's the best fit as far as the guy's been here. He's been at Iowa State. You know he can recruit at Iowa State. You know he loves it here. His wife's from here. Well, not from here, but she played basketball here.
She's, I believe.
And he's got experience.
Is Allison the only first-round WNBA draft pick Iowa State's ever had? Or was Lindsey Metters one, too? I think Allison might be the only one.
Was Anna sure. Prenz just because she was tall?
No, I think she was second round.
Was she?
Okay. Let's not use the personal connections to Iowa State, though, to dictate that they're going to have a successful long career.
No, but
because,
I think
we just saw that, and they can leave.
Yeah, so. But I don't think you can hire anyone and know that they're going to be successful. I mean,
yeah.
I think every guy who is reportedly going to interview is 50-50 if they work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have like a Lon Kruger with a track record signing up for this job.
Well, let's think about this. Iowa, 10 years ago, or however long ago, they made a splash hire. They went and got Todd Licklider. He was coach of the year at a mid-major. Everyone thought he was going to be a phenomenal coach, and he failed miserably. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. You can look at their resume.
Most
you
people
can look
thought
at
McDermott
stuff.
Would be great.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of coaches that people look at and say, hey, that's a good hire. He's got a good resume. He's done this at a mid-major. You don't know. So, in my opinion, it's all a flip of a coin. So, give me a guy that's been – he at least knows Iowa State. He knows the players. He's recruited to this area before. That's my opinion.
Have you looked into the salaries, Chris, of the guys that are being mentioned? What's the highest salary of any of the coaches out there?
They're all anywhere from like 300 to like 600-700K.
So we're probably going to offer $1 million, $1.2 million, something like that.
What I said a week ago, like 1.1 to 1.3.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, maybe even – it depends on who you get. I mean, if you can – Jamie Pollard's not stupid. If he can get a guy for 900, he's going to get him for 900. Like,
I was wondering, what do they do when Fred leaves? Two things I'm curious about. So Fred leaves and we were paying Fred
2.2.
What happens to the extra money that we're no longer paying him? What do they do with that?
They take it off ticket prices for fans.
Yeah, which they don't do. And then literally – you may not know this, but I'm just curious about things like this in general. Fred owes the university $500,000.
Correct.
I believe.
Yeah.
Did Fred literally write them a check and say, here's $500,000?
I don't know, but I assume the Bulls pay that, but I don't know.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah. No. I can't imagine that he does, but I mean, the Bulls will pay that because it's one of the reasons why a guy like Chris Mack at Xavier, there's a lot of jobs out there now where these buyouts are so extravagant for other colleges to take these guys. It makes it really difficult. Your pool of coaches is a lot stingier than it was 10 years ago. And what's hurting Iowa State is it's June 4th. It's a hard time to go out and get coaches.
I don't get the Chris Mack love, to be honest.
I just use that as an example.
No, I know, but I've seen a lot of people bring that up. I don't get it.
So he's a really good. He is a very good fit where he is.
I'll tell you this. It's easier to recruit to Xavier than to Iowa State.
People think Xavier's crazy. A great job because you're in this podunk league. I'm sorry, I don't think the A-10 is
recruited to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, and you've got a natural base right there. You're at a basketball school. You have nothing else to compete with.
I agree.
It's a really good job.
Dayton's
the same way. You don't have they pay you well. The competition factor. You've got this 12-year contract or whatever those guys have.
And people go to games there. Where you go and you coach in the Big 12 and you go coach at Oklahoma State. people don't go to games there.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for coaching in an arena where it's full.
Which is a big perk of Iowa State. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the huge selling points that Iowa State has.
I hate contracts, by the way, when it comes to coaching. They just drive me nuts. Like, this next coach should get – there's no reason to give this next coach more than a two-year deal. It doesn't matter. Well, 5 years, it doesn't matter.
Recruiting-wise, though.
Yeah, you got to give at least four.
But everybody knows it doesn't mean squat, because if the coach wants to leave, he's gone, regardless of the contract. And if he succeeds, then yeah, that contract will go.
Mark, if Iowa State gave the next coach a two-year deal, I mean, next year the expectations are so damn high. If they struggled at all,
yeah,
I mean, you're going to have a hard time getting here because the guy could get fired the next year. Where does the money go? That's a really good question. One, I guess I don't know the specific answer to, but did you guys see that graph that Wide Right and Natty Light, Dan Becker, put out earlier this week on facilities? Oh, it was really insightful. It was I've referenced it like five times on the radio show and now this. It was really good work by those guys. The facility increases like financially since the year 2005, and it listed all the Big 12 schools. And, you know, some of them were like 30%, some of them were 80%. And I'm just going off the top of my head. These aren't exact numbers. Like, Kansas State was up there at like 150 or something because they're doing their new end zone or whatever. Mm-hmm. Iowa State's facility costs since 2005 have increased by 455%.
I believe it.
Like, I mean, and all that does is really show you how far behind Iowa State was facility-wise, which leads me to – I mean, I remember when I was a freshman at Iowa State playing pickup basketball, and Dan McCarney's football team is practicing right beside me. Like, before the Sooke Cup, basketball team didn't have anywhere to just go shoot hoops if they wanted to play pickup, because the only place you could go is State Gym. You got a bunch of hacks like me who are out there on a random Tuesday night. They didn't have you know, you had Beyer Hall, and you had State Gym, and you had the rec center, and it was always full. So, like, there's just been so much to do. Where would that money go? I mean, that would be my guess, is you're going to pay some of this crap
facilities.
Off.
But think about it. They've done a new golf practice facility. They've
softball.
Done it. They've done new softball. They've done new basketball practice arena. They've done, since that time, the football practice facility, I think.
Yeah, the whole football facility in general.
The end zone. So, yeah, they spent a crap load of money. And frankly, $1 million that they're saving is, that's a lot of money. But when it comes to big buildings, $1 million really isn't that much money at all. What is your spin, by the way, on the rumor I heard yesterday? I don't know if you said it or it was an article, that I think it was in relation to TJ, that Jamie and President Leith are not on the same page.
That is, in my opinion, being overblown. I think it started off where Jamie kind of has his way of doing things. President Leith... I said this from day one. We don't know how this guy's going to want the search to go, because it's his first coaching search since he's been at Iowa State. I think he wanted to cast a wider net, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always good when the superior is challenging the guy who works below him, which is why, I mean, why do you think Iowa State's using a search firm this time?
Yeah.
I mean, they've never done it in the past that I'm aware of. Jamie's always conducted his own searches. So... I mean, I would say that's a President Leith thing. They're looking who's interested, et cetera. And I don't think that – but I think it's being overblown. I don't think you've got these two guys, like, yelling at each other in their offices and stuff like that.
What exactly does the search firm do that Pollard can't do? Pollard can pick up a phone and call people, call agents and say, are they interested?
Mark, I mean, I vaguely know what they do, but it's not – I can't give you specifics. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just have all these contacts that...
They charge a lot. I do know that.
Yeah, they can send out, like, blasts and say, okay, Iowa State's open. Any of your clients interested? Stuff like that, where maybe you've got a guy who's under contract somewhere else who technically can't reach out to Iowa State, but they can do a search firm. It's a third party.
Unfortunately, you're right, though, that the timing on this thing kind of stinks, because their pool of candidates is going to be pretty shallow, I would think.
It's exactly the pool I thought it would be. I mean,
successful mid-major guys.
Yeah, I mean, the
low mid-major, not even high mid-major.
Yeah, these are low mid-major guys.
Yeah.
It sucks. And that's why I thought Hornacek would be such a freaking home run from the beginning if they could get him.
It didn't sound like he was like – that's what bothers me about the rumor mill. It sounded like – for 2 weeks now, it sounded like he's a possibility. And then as soon as the job opens up, no interest. Why couldn't it have been no interest from the beginning?
Well, he's got to have leverage to get another year or two out of a contract for the Suns.
But so far, I haven't heard of an extension with him and the Suns yet.
Well,
maybe the Suns didn't call his bluff. They called his bluff, I mean.
Mm-hmm. And the agent got a little fired up at me.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's okay.
That's what
Hornacek's agent did?
Yeah, yesterday.
What happened?
Jeez.
You can't just bring something up like that and then...
Well, I just can't believe you haven't heard about it.
Well, dude, I've got a life, man.
Oh, I know, but my God.
Jeez. Was this on the radio show? Were you talking about it on the show?
Yeah, we've talked about it everywhere. It's been beaten to death. I reported that Hornacek declined, or somebody from Hornacek's camp, declined an interview request by Iowa State.
Yeah.
His agent actually came on and commented on the story.
On CycloneFanatic.com.
Which was crazy.
Oh,
so,
really?
So then it got picked up, like, nationally.
What did he say in a nutshell?
He basically said it was inaccurate because... I mean, Adam, he was insinuating, and I've reached out to the guy, like, I've called him,
yeah,
I've emailed him, and I haven't heard back. I was going to bring him on the radio show to tell me how it was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean,
So his comment said that he did not decline a request?
Basically, that Iowa State didn't go through the proper protocol to reach out to Jeff.
Which would be calling the agent, I would assume?
I found the very first thing that he said very funny. Jeff loves his alma mater. Like, I felt like he was trying to save... Like he was trying
I
to
never
keep
once
Jeff.
Insinuated that Jeff didn't love his alma mater. I don't know where
and
that
And you have
came.
No you have no doubt that this was actually his agent.
No, it's been confirmed it
He's
was
confirmed,
him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We represent Jeff Hornacek. Rarely do I post, but I will simply say that this story is inaccurate. Jeff loves his alma mater and the facts are simply wrong here.
But I never once wrote like
Which is very vague.
Jeff Hornacek hates Iowa State.
Yeah. But then later on he did say under contract is key. School knew they had to request permission in a certain manner from the Phoenix Suns, which isn't true.
Yeah, that's not true.
It's not true at all. I do not wish to allocate the blame as to parties at fault here, but it's a shame. Which there's not much there.
My whole thing is if I'm the Phoenix Suns and I read, but it's a shame. So does that mean your coach wants to leave?
He wants to leave and can't. I mean that makes it sound like he wanted to leave but can't because he didn't get asked the right way.
Yeah,
I think that's what he's trying to make you think.
He's trying to make you think that,
which is dumb.
In the NBA, you have to go through the right steps, obviously. But college, the NBA, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
it's stupid.
So, anyways,
it was a fun day for you yesterday.
I hate that, man. Like, I hate being a part of the news. Like, there's a lot of guys who do that, like, intentionally.
Yeah.
They try and, but I don't like that. It was a really uncomfortable day for me. And you know it, Mark. Like, I hate being, like, that, in that spotlight type deal. Like, it made me sick. Like, I was sick to my stomach, like, reading,
because,
like, hearing
because
my,
of the agent thing?
Yeah. Mean? Like, I just, because I'm not throwing crap against the wall. But whatever, like it is what it is. Like coaching searches are so, and again, like and this is what I told him in the email, if I was wrong, like I am man enough to stand here on my radio show and say, okay, I screwed up.
Yeah.
Give me some proof. Like come and talk to me. And I haven't heard back. So,
well, and here's the problem with coaching searches. Everyone's got an agenda.
Every single person you talk to has an agenda.
And they all for selfish reasons. And so they will use those agendas to make everyone is kind of fighting against each other. Long story short, it gets ugly. That's why sometimes for me, I got to remove myself, because otherwise you can sit here and I could stare at the computer and Twitter and check stuff for 5 straight hours and get emotionally invested in what's going on. And sometimes you just got to step away and I don't know.
I always find it humorous, Chris, that you like don't like to do, you know, be in the middle, as you say, or be part of the story, and yet you do what you do for a living.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It's
you should be bagging groceries at Fairway if you don't want to be in the mix, you know? Like, you're in the mix,
no,
man.
No, I don't mind being in the mix. I don't like, because there's a lot of things like that I could say that would clear me.
Yeah.
But it's like you can't give up your source. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. It's just my hands are tied. Like, I'd love to defend myself, but you just certain things you can't do.
So let me ask you a great hypothetical, which has happened for sure in the history of time here, because you talk a lot about your sources and the importance of sources. So let's say you got a source on a story, whatever, and then something happens where you are being requested by officials, let's call them law enforcement, to give up a source. Okay? So this is a true hypothetical that happens to journalists from time to time.
Yeah, usually not sports writers, but...
But you're requested to give up your source. You say, I refuse to. And ultimately, what happens a lot is contempt of court or some jail time until you do. And usually those cases go away, but you could face jail time. So here's the question. How long would you willingly go to jail to protect a source?
I mean, that is such a hypothetical.
And don't say forever, because no one's going to believe
that
forever.
Is such a hypothetical, though. Because
but it happens in your profession.
That's usually low with, like, legal stuff.
I'm just saying.
That's like with like the Barry Bonds steroid case, right? Where they're trying to bust.
Sports world. There you go.
I mean,
you're a journalist, though. It applies to your journalistic.
I mean, I don't know, Mark. That's such a hypothetical.
But would you go 30 days?
Yeah, I'd do 30 days.
You would not. You wouldn't last a day.
I'd get destroyed.
You
in jail.
Pansy.
You'd become someone's wife within 10 minutes of entering. Look at that cute one right there.
That's so apples and oranges. Like, if I covered, like, politics or, like, world news, that'd be one. I mean, I freaking cover Iowa State.
Because I think there's journalists that would say, heck no, I'm just going to give up the source. And then there's journalists that would stick to their integrity and their guns.
Oh, I was for a while, yeah.
Not for a while. As long as I
don't know. It's an impossible question to answer.
Yeah.
You're very good at that. Like, asking questions that you know I can't really answer.
Like when he asked which of the local media members you would marry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kill or...
Which you still didn't answer, but you know, whatever.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You answered the Fred Hoiberg one in that same game.
Hey, go. I want to take it back. I'd kill Fred now.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah. What are your closing thoughts? I'm curious on Fred. He's gone. We're moving on from him. But what was your take on this week and him wrapping everything up?
It ended in me being very excited for him. And it's like the whole like narrative that his family wasn't like happy about it. Like, did you see those? They're so happy.
Yeah.
Like, they're so excited.
And the more I thought about
it, I'm very happy for him, and it makes me excited to watch his career in the NBA.
The more I thought about the family aspect, the more that made more sense to me that they would be happy, because that was what people are grasping at, is that, oh, he won't take his kids out of school. But the trade-off was these young kids, especially the twins, get to grow up around NBA basketball players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
their
a pretty cool
dad
deal.
Dad is the head coach of the Bulls.
That's a pretty
the
cool
Chicago
deal.
Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
You know?
And they were born there, like you said. It's not like this was an unfamiliar area for the family.
And I would say, you guys worried about making friends? Okay, first day of school, say my dad coaches the Bulls.
Yeah.
And guess what? You got a lot of friends.
And you're making $5 million a year. You think Fred can't take a Learjet to the Ames Airport whenever he wants to go see mom and dad? I mean, come on.
Yeah. So it's – no, I mean, I was bitter about it at first in denial, and then
– You were.
Mark,
you were big time bitter.
Did you watch his press conference?
I did, yeah. Yeah,
I thought it was fantastic.
Oh,
just like everything he does, he nailed it. He came across genuine, heartfelt. I thought it was phenomenal. The first 5 to 10 minutes were all about Iowa State,
and that's the good thing. So essentially, what he did, because we were talking about, did he owe the fans a press conference here? Will he have a goodbye thing? I think he did that in the Bulls press conference.
Pretty much.
He addressed enough things there where people won't feel like it's needed here anymore, and they can close the chapter on that.
There's a bunch of stuff that's been said in the last week or two that you read online and on Twitter that just kind of makes you shake your head.
Saying mean things to him.
Mean things I don't get. I mean, I get being hurt or angry, you know, sad. I get all that emotion. I don't get really hating on Fred Hoiberg. That doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, people coming out and saying, you know, Iowa State's a stepping stone job. What job is not a stepping stone when the Chicago Bulls come calling? I'm sorry.
I mean, was Kansas' stepping stone job when Roy Williams left?
Patino left, went to the Boston Celtics. Is Kentucky a stepping stone job?
I totally agree with you.
Job in college is a stepping stone to the NBA if they want to. Now, look at what Duke. They've been able to keep Coach K. They're also paying him $9 million a year.
Yeah, that's insanity.
I looked up salaries the other day because I was curious, and I could not believe how much money he made. I think it was even closer to $10 million. And then the drop-off was like, I think second was maybe 5'5", somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah,
like that's a huge difference between one and two.
And Calipari, like two of his $5.5 million actually goes to recruit, so he's really not making that much money.
If I told you, if I just handed you guys $10 million right now, what would you do?
I'd say it's been good knowing you, and I'd get out of here.
No, of course you haven't seen Office Space, but the answer, of course, to that question is two chicks at the same time.
That's the answer. Well, $10 million.
I figure a guy with that much money could get that to happen.
All that would do is just put 50% more income into Charter's bank accounts. I mean, that's just
what would
debt.
I do with $10 million?
Yeah. Would you just quit working?
No, I would not, because I would be bored.
Yeah,
I would be bored. I'm too young to be retired, frankly. If I had $10 million, I would go buy some investment properties around the country. So, or world in this case, I might buy a place down in the Bahamas to vacation at, or somewhere that's going to accrue interest for me over time. And I would invest in some local business opportunities like a Cyclone Bar.
I like the cycle
that we talked about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd live the dream, man.
We should. Can we just get that out in the open?
I think we should.
We can?
Well, I'm just saying, like, what we're thinking about doing.
Spitball it a little bit.
And see, maybe some people can give us some reaction and tips.
I just don't want this to be like the Nut Cup, where people get their hopes up and then they just get kicked in the nuts again.
So, dude, the only thing that separates reality from talk in this instance is money. Okay?
Okay.
I've got some, you've got some, you've got some. We know people that have some. So it's basically just a bunch of lazy dudes that don't want to get together and have some lunches and start something.
Let's do some lunches.
That's where we're at.
So basically, Mark, you tell the story.
So
you explain
so
it.
So I had a vision that previously you guys had, and I didn't know you had this vision.
Correct.
But I call you guys one day or text you or whatever, and I said, basically, we need to do a cycling bar. Okay, and not no offense to Benchwarmers, who's supportive of Fanatic, but Benchwarmers is not a Cyclone bar. And by that I mean when you walk through the door, everything in there is Cyclone. The bar stools, everything on the walls, and my working title name was Clones Beer Bar, which I don't know if we can get the rights to the name Clones, but
I doubt we can.
I like it.
I doubt that works.
And part of me thinks like Cyclone Liquor and Ames.
You know? What's going on there?
There's lots of stuff called cycling properties that isn't related to Iowa State. So maybe you can. Maybe it's easier than we think.
So, yeah, but the liquor one is the interesting one.
Yeah, go so ahead. Clones Beer Bar. The only reason I said beer is because as a potential business owner, I think when you have a business that's easier to operate, it's more likely to be successful. So instead of having bartenders having to know how to make every drink in the world, we serve beer. We serve a lot of it. We serve good beer.
But we got to have wine and stuff for chicks, too.
You can have that. I'm just saying it's not known as that.
Yeah,
you
know? No, we'll be the beer place.
So imagine a venue that's most likely probably in Ankeny, because that's where you guys work. That's where I live. That's where a lot of our connections are. And then just a very nice, not gigantic place for Cyclone fans to come out, watch games, do game watches, do live remotes, do all of that stuff. And so I texted you guys about this, and you guys said, yes, we've already been down this road. We've been thinking about it for a couple of years. And I said, well, let's either poop or get off the potty on this, and let's see what we can put together. So that's where we're at.
That is where we're at.
I happen to think it would be popular, especially with the famous Chris Williams involved. Anybody listening to the podcast, I would love to hear their opinion if they would come and help us out and buy a beer or two. Gray, as you just stare at me.
Well, I mean, I know the Fallcast people well enough by now. They'd buy more than one beer.
Okay.
Yeah, they'd get after it.
Speaking of that, we're having our party coming up, too.
June 26th. Friday, June 26th.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. And, Mark, you're making progress on the T-shirts.
T-shirts are coming along. We've got a band, The Array.
Have you worked with Benchwarmers, Adam, about the band? Do they know we're bringing a band?
They do know we're bringing a band. They're ready for us.
Yeah. So we're going to have a band that does a set of mostly covers. It's coming together.
Meeting tomorrow with the folks from Ponseti International, the Clubfoot charity. Yesterday was World Clubfoot Day, by the way.
I forgot to celebrate. I didn't know. In the club.
Stop it.
That's got to be the name of our party. In the club, and then in parentheses,
and like a picture
foot
of my daughter's like cast.
Yeah, will she be there? Will she be there wakeboarding? That's what I like. She looks like a wakeboarder with the brace she has to wear.
She'll be there.
That's awesome.
She'll be there until she's got to go to bed. But yeah, actually, I think we've got a couple of children with Clubfoot that are going to make the appearance.
There you go.
So it'll be neat, and they're really excited. This charity, I think I've told you guys about it, but nobody ever does stuff for them, so they're especially excited.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That'd be good.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we're literally like every brace that we can donate, or a kid will be able to walk who would have been crippled otherwise.
And this is three weeks from tomorrow?
Yes.
I think?
Yep.
3 weeks from tomorrow, 7 p.m., Benchwarmers.
Nah, I'd say 6.
6?
Oh, it's 6?
Yeah, let's get people there early. We might not start the band till 7, but I think we get there.
I have to get off early then.
Just show up after work. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Show up after work. We will have some T-shirts that will be, I believe, for sale. Might give away a few. We can do some proceeds to the charity type of deal. So,
did you get that signed basketball from Fred Hoiberg before he left, or did you fail to do that?
I failed.
Wow. We need a Bulls signed basketball now.
Get one from him and Dougie McFresh.
Let me see what I can do.
Yeah.
I think Dougie would sign. We can get Dougie buckets.
I'm sure he will. I just don't know how to get it.
What do you mean? UPS it.
Come on. It's asking a lot.
Just drive to Chicago. Yeah, drive.
Hey, Fred, come pick me up in your jet.
We missed our chance. Dougie McBuckets was just here signing autographs.
If we gave away Bulls stuff, like signed by Derrick Rose there, do you think people would like it, or do you think people would be like too soon, a little pissed off?
Like a Derrick Rose signed t-shirt, yeah. It disappears and it has like poop
knee,
on it.
Or like a Derrick Rose signed knee brace.
I love it.
That hurts.
What, Chris, you never chimed in. Adam chimed in very weakly on the bar.
What do you want me to say? I think it's a good idea. I don't have much
Williams,
to say
Williams, where are you at on it?
Dude, I actually am working on another potential investment opportunity, so I'm all about it. I'm in that mindset right now.
What is this?
I can't tell you.
You're going to do something without me?
Just when we start,
it has nothing to do with Iowa State.
Just when we start to think we're friends with them.
I know. I would think that. I don't want to tell you about the opportunity.
It's an idea in the local veterinary medicine field. It has nothing.
You know my love for animals. This is right up my alley.
You hate animals.
It's nut cups for dogs.
Adam abuses his dog, Brett.
No, listen to this, though.
He hates it.
First off, people that are listening, you guys don't believe a word he says, but my wife, so we're in an apartment now, right, for 6 months while we're going to build, thanks to Mark Charter for selling our house.
6 months, it'll probably be more like...
No, it'll be 6 months, all right? You just shut your mouth.
So you'll be there a year from now.
Shut your mouth.
Okay.
Okay. So we
That'll
have...
be tough with an infant.
Yeah, we have two kids sharing a room.
Baby on the way.
Julie and I, baby on the way, and then we have the dog.
Where are you going to put the baby when it's born?
And our bedroom with us, which is tough for me because I'm a light sleeper.
Cameron still sleeps next to Daddy.
See, I can't do that.
In the bed or outside the bed?
No, we got the co-sleeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's weird when you call yourself Daddy. I don't know.
I am Daddy.
Daddy-like.
I don't like it.
Daddy likes being a daddy.
I call myself a dad. I'm a dad.
No, I'm Daddy.
Right now, I guess
you have a girl. Maybe it's a little different because it's a girl. Yeah.
I'm daddy or dad to my 4-year-old, and I'm nothing yet to my 1-year-old who says mama. So I spend all day saying dada. Dada.
Yeah, dada.
So I'm dada. But she didn't say it yet, so I just say it to myself, which is frustrating.
That's all right.
But whatever.
Yeah, but Julie with the dog, she goes, well, you know, it's a small apartment. We got to find a place to put Brett, you know, especially when we're gone. I don't know if I want him out and about and everywhere. How about we put the dog kennel in the garage? And my wife, so this is me with a big heart loving animals, which is contrary to what you say. I go, Julie, it's summer. You put a dog in a garage while we're gone the whole day, that's animal torture. Like, we will go to jail for that. That's horrible.
Gets a little warm.
That actually is.
And she thought about it. She goes, yeah, that was a terrible idea. So just your point, me hating animals, I just saved my dog's life by thinking things out for my wife.
That doesn't mean you love it. That just means you don't want to go to jail.
Oh.
You know I would have called the cops had you been doing that.
No, I know you would have.
I did that at the Altoona Walmart last summer.
Yeah.
It was a little too warm, and this dog was in a car. And
windows rolled up.
I called the damn cops and I said, if you're not here in 5 minutes, I'm breaking the window.
Did they show up?
They got there.
Yeah.
They broke the damn window.
They did?
Yeah. No, actually they didn't. They picked the lock, but the window's a better story.
What did you ever see the owner? Did the owner come out while you were there?
I left. I just made sure the dog was okay and I got out of there.
Do you think people do it? Do you think people just don't think things through?
I think people get busy and get sidetracked.
And some people are just idiots, honestly. I mean,
my wife's not an idiot. She's a lawyer, okay?
I'm saying like there's some people who don't understand.
Yeah.
Can I go on record and say some lawyers are idiots? There's some out there.
Seriously, though, if it's like 85 degrees or 80 degrees, no, that won't kill a dog. But when the windows are all shut and the sun's beating down on them, it's like 110 in there.
It gets hot.
And they're wearing
a lot of fur. Yeah. No, I get that.
There was a video I saw last year of a guy that recorded himself in a hot car in the summer. And like 5 minutes in, 10 minutes in, I think he was in there for maybe an hour.
That sounds awful.
And he was watching the thermometer, like he had a thermometer and stuff. He did it to show like kind of what it's like in a car for an hour. And like by the end, he was almost passed out, like totally, you know, covered in sweat, just the whole deal, like body was starting to change, like all of those things. So it's not a good deal.
He probably lost some weight, though.
That's one of those things, like what William said about wanting to break the window. It's do you guys ever watch the show What Would You Do on ABC?
No.
Where they put people in those situations, like they'll put a couple actors in a restaurant and one of the people starts saying like racist shit about, I just swore.
Yeah.
Sorry. About
30. Is that your first
37:55?
I don't know if that's my first.
Yeah, I think it is.
Welcome to the club, Charter. How's it feel?
Racist stuff about you know, the waiter. And then they're gauging like the people around within earshot to see, do they say knock it off? Do they do anything like that or not? And another one would be, you know, the car thing. Like, they'll put like a fake baby crying in a car and there's no one around. Like, what do the people do? Do they just pass and keep going, or do they stop and try to get something done? It's really, really interesting for social experimentation as far as what people do. Like, you're the, like, in real life, you're, you know, you're in a, you know, you're in a store, you're in Walmart, you're in Target, right? You know, and a guy's being mildly like abusive to his girlfriend, you know, pushing her around a little bit, you know, do you just like walk away and say, man, that sucks? Or do you like get in the guy's face and say, you need to knock it off?
How mild are we talking?
No, enough where it shouldn't be happening.
Ooh, that's, yeah.
Let's put it that way. Is it like, I mind my own business? Or are you like, no, I'm seeing something that isn't right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say something about it.
How big is the guy?
He's my size.
Well, I'd kick his ass then.
You can say ass.
Yeah, okay.
He's 7 foot, 350.
I'm walking away, man.
You know, but those things are interesting. Yeah, I always ask myself, what type of person am I? You know, in situations like
what
that.
Type what type of person are you?
What, well, I think I'm the type of person that would stick up for those that can't defend themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what type of person I think I am. I hope. You know, I help the elderly. I hold doors for people. You know, I think,
unlike
I'm, I
Adam,
think I'm nice.
Who hates the elderly and kicks puppies.
And dogs.
He hates.
Like, you know, Adam, when he walks into the store, like, he sees the lady, the 85-year-old woman right in front of him with her walker, slowly shuffling her way in.
This could not be further from
and
the
he,
truth.
And Adam goes, move it. I'm in a hurry, and flies around her.
Move.
That's what he says.
I was thinking of a Ludacris song.
I am the nicest person.
Get out the way. Get out the way.
I'm not even going to defend myself. I'll just let you.
Because you can't, defend that.
I'll let Fallcast people think I'm a dickhead.
You can't defend that. Hey, by the way, on June 26th, come out and meet the dickhead. He'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be here. Yeah.
He'll be there.
I'll tell you to get out of my way or buy me a drink.
He'll be in person. Williams will be there. Rob Gray will be there. Maybe. Is Rob coming?
Yeah, I think Rob will be there.
Brent Bloom?
Bloom will be there.
Bloom will be there.
Bloom's not coming.
Well,
what about John Walters? Could we get Walters to come out?
Yeah, he lives right by Benchwarmers.
So John Walters, maybe,
if
coming out?
If he's available, I'll make sure the invite gets sent.
Ross Peterson?
Andrew Downs?
Get Ross to stop by?
Ross is 50-50. He
solid maybe.
He does the races.
That's
on
true.
Friday nights,
that's
so true. If I get him out of that. Andrew will come if he hasn't had his baby yet.
Andrew Downs?
Okay.
In the house? Who else do we know? We know anybody
I'll else? Invite Murph.
Murph and Fails?
Yeah. Just like you invited under the party of the cinch.
Yeah, Murph was like pot committed all day, and then his wife decided at the last minute that they didn't want to come.
It happens.
And then Fails apparently was sick.
Fails was sick, but it was a good move for Murph because I wouldn't want his wife to see people peeing all over the floor and stuff.
Sipker.
No, it wasn't Sipker. We've
Whatever.
Ruled him out.
Because he sits.
Sipker was like the least drunk person there because he got there like
so
10.
Who was it? You've narrowed it down
Reed
to one person.
We pretty much think it was Reed Forgrave who peed on my floor. But
and he denies this, I assume.
Yeah, he does deny it, but we have witnesses.
When are you going to have the party of the cinch part deux that Gray will also not come to?
I don't know if we can I don't know how you do a sequel to that. You know, cuz I feel like the second one's never going to be as good. We had like the biggest fight in our era.
And it sucked.
It sucked, but like there was so much build up to it. It was Derby Day. You know what I mean? Like we had promoted it so much. Like I don't know if we can top that.
So the only way to top it, and it will not be the party of the cinch, but it could be the golf outing of the cinch, is we need to get out to the Shittily D. And yeah. We need to play some golf.
Yeah.
So we need to get this on the schedule.
We're going
to
do that when we get done recording.
For either July or August.
I say late June.
Or late June.
Or June.
We need to get out and do it.
That sounds good. Absolutely. I have to go with you guys to Shittily D, or can I stay at the Icebox?
No, you have to
go to the Shittily D, and you have to set the bar on fire.
All right.
That's what's happening.
We've got to do the Everclear, or not the Everclear, the Moonshine.
Yeah.
Set it on fire.
Can I take a nap in there again like I did last time?
It was the most disgraceful.
Why did you take a nap at a bar?
Because being such a wuss.
Oh, really?
Yes, you were.
Oh, really?
Yes, we're out at the Shittily D. We're having beers, talking with Steve and Kevin, both Steves, and Bloom's there, and we're having a good time.
Listen up, okay? 2 days before that, for two straight days, we gutted my parents' lake house. I was down there doing manual labor, knocking out walls, knocking out drywall, taking out studs.
You feel sorry for him?
Gray's like my one-year-old, dude. If he doesn't get nap time, he gets cranky. He just had to fall asleep.
When was the last time you took a nap?
I take naps every once in a while.
Do you?
You know, oh, I'm a believer. Nice. No, here's the truth, though, and I think this is good for everybody listening, too. No, I don't recommend that you take naps every day, and I certainly don't. But when your body's telling you something, you should probably listen.
Yeah.
And when you feel like just exhausted, I'm known to take a quick power nap. It's amazing what 30 minutes can do.
Oh, see, 30 minutes would be tough on me.
No, it's just if you get to the point where you're literally nodding off.
10 years.
But I just wouldn't sleep at a bar. That's my point.
I didn't sleep. I might have just been kind of dozing a little bit as I was sitting there. And this was like 2 in the morning. That's pretty pathetic. Yeah, it is. It is bad.
Yeah, you should have just gone home.
Hey, can we talk about the Summer Series podcast? Are we able to break that news right now?
Yeah, no, I was thinking we needed to do that today.
This is big news.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't even know if Charter knows about this.
No, he doesn't.
Guess why? Because you guys don't ever tell me anything.
Well, you're not a part of it.
It just happened.
And I'm not really a part of it either, so I don't know why I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
Since this is a big deal, so he doesn't invite you or me to be on this podcast with him. He wants to have the A-list guy, so who do you think he went for the A-list?
As a co-host or as a guest?
As a co-host for his podcast.
Local A-list? Are we talking?
Yeah, local. Yeah.
I don't know who's as A-list as yet. Murphy?
No, Bloom. Brent Bloom.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Tell about it. You can do a better job.
Sorry, I'm yawning.
I'm surprised you didn't call me to sponsor it and pay you money.
No, we're saving it up for the videos that you're going to be doing.
Got it. Yeah. We're going to have you all.
Commercial's almost done. It looks solid, by the way.
It?
Oh, yeah.
Who are those actors?
The friends of mine.
I was gonna say,
for the picture?
You didn't pay for those, did you?
TJ, the guy is...
Otzeberger?
No, a model.
Big time.
And then Stephanie is a sister of one of my best friends that I golf with all the time.
So they're not really husband and wife?
Nope.
Did they have to kiss?
So you're lying in your commercial business.
Yep. They had just met probably 3 minutes. When this commercial comes out and you see it, they had met each other 3 minutes before we started shooting.
They had to kiss?
They did not have to kiss, but he has his arm around her and they're cuddling like they're looking at their new house.
Back in my acting career, my brief acting career.
When was this?
College. So I got casted in 2 like actual productions,
mm-hmm.
like commercials.
Yeah.
Well, one of them, it was a... Like, you know how, like, if you work at, like, Principal or Wells Fargo, they'll, like, show you informational videos.
Yeah.
This was about sexual harassment. And I had one line in the whole thing. Like, I was basically just an extra in it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, like, I had one line. I turned around to the camera. I said, sexual harassment. It's illegal, and you don't have to take it. And I pointed at the camera. So then my second one, though, it reminds me of your commercial. It was for, like, a hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a local hardware store. I don't even remember. That's all I remember about it. But they, like, told me to wear, like, a flannel shirt and stuff like that. And I had the similar husband-wife situation, mm-hmm. where I had this chick who was like on my arm at the hardware store. And
because that's natural. You go arm in arm with a girl when you're in the hardware store.
we had to be like all lovey-dovey when we're at the checkout and be like, oh, yeah, these screws and nails that we just bought are going to be great for our home. And we
absolutely.
Walked out. Yeah, so that's my brief
acting. Why were you acting? You wanted to be an actor?
Absolutely. When I went to Iowa State, I was a theater major.
What?
I swear to God.
Did you do any plays at Fisher?
Oh, yeah. Bleacher Bums, and then I got out because I did plays all throughout high school and stuff and some stuff and like all, and I just I it about my sophomore year I go, wait a second, I can't actually make a living doing this. So then I tried to be a sports writer. That was genius.
Are you going
to
be in one of Sipker's films? He's always trying to do these indie things, right?
Nah, probably not. That's past.
You're done.
I haven't done
the dream
any,
has died.
I haven't done any acting in years.
Gray, have you done any acting?
I did some acting in college. I took a couple classes. I was phenomenal at it. Actually, impromptu.
Just like everything that you do.
Impromptu actually was something I was very good at back in high school and college. Now, if I probably tried to do it, I would fail miserably.
Tell the Fallcast listeners why you're so excited about our shirts, by the way, since you're so phenomenal at everything.
Because the Fallcast design has got a little baby blue.
Yeah.
And baby blue goes with my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I wear that on... June 26th.
We're wearing the t-shirts on Friday, right?
Yeah.
When we do this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the Summer Series podcast. We're off topic.
Yeah. Okay. So our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings in Ames and Ankeny, right?
Both. Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Booyah.
Step it up to sponsor this. Bloom and I. So it's a Summer Series is what we're calling it. And we're going to have 2 a month throughout the summer. Or three in June and 3 in July. What are we doing, Adam?
Might
bleed into August a little bit.
Yeah, might have 1 week in August, but...
But basically, it's just going to be... It's not new news. We're not talking about current times. These are all scheduled podcasts. So, like, with different categories, like top 5... games in Iowa State history or top five personalities we've covered in Iowa history, like very specific topics where if we go for 2 hours, it's a 2 hour podcast. You know what I mean? It's going to be very, very much just Bloom and I are going to sit around and have beers and talk about our experiences.
Are they, live, so to speak? Or
no, they'll just be, they'll come up on our iTunes feed just like this.
Make sure you record it. When you do the podcast.
What we're going to do, though, is we're going to come up with four podcasts on our own, and we're going to let the fans pick the other two categories.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings. We've got a great relationship with the franchises in Ames and Ankeny. I'm excited about this because it's just kind of – it really is. It's going to be Bloom and I sitting around openly drinking beer – talking about Iowa State, passion.
The topic I'm looking forward to the most is the most hated coaches and players in Iowa State history. I'm really looking forward to that because you know Bloom's got a great memory, especially the 90s of certain guys that were just
Handle the 2000s pretty well. Bloom pre-2000 is unbelievable.
And all these topics are just during your guys' lifetime.
We're not going to go back to like the Orr days because we, frankly weren't.
You're pretty much just reading what other people are saying. You don't have your own personal experiences.
Absolutely.
On it.
So this is going to be Bloom goes back farther than I do. For me, it's about 2000 up until the last 15 years. Yeah. And frankly, let's be honest, most of our listeners are that age too. We have some older listeners and we try and do, and I think they'll enjoy this too.
Yes.
But,
I mean, you're going back 20 years.
We're going back two decades for crying out loud. Yep. That's fine.
It'll be fun.
Will you listen, Mar?
Maybe if it's entertaining.
Well, what do you expect from me and Bloom?
I just don't listen to listen, It's got to be entertaining.
I'll be honest. Anytime I hear that Bloom's on a podcast now, I still am a little emotionally damaged.
Why?
Because my dream was met when Hoiberg took the Bulls job. A dream came true for him. A dream came true for me. I was doing a podcast with Bloom, only to find out that you didn't record it.
Yeah,
it'd be like all of a sudden now the Bulls being like, yeah, Hoiberg, sorry, we don't want you. That's what it was like for me. It was tough.
Sorry. How many freaking times do you want me to apologize?
I like talking about X's and O's and Iowa State specific stuff. And doing this with Bloom.
This is my vision for the upcoming year. Like, you do your damn X's and O's podcast.
Boom.
Like, I don't care.
By yourself.
But I don't want to. Here's my deal. I don't want to have to come in here and do it for you.
When are you going to show me how to use
I need to get that other
That's what's holding him back. He doesn't know how to do it.
There's been some stuff going on.
Okay? Like what?
Yeah, like what?
Like a jerk. Like a month ago when Hoiberg Watch 2015 began.
How many apology letters have you and Bloom gotten since you guys wrote those articles about 3 weeks ago?
We were just fabricating the story for clicks?
Yeah. I bet you've got a ton, haven't you? A ton of apologies?
No, I haven't. No.
You haven't got?
I don't need apologies. It's fine.
People are bad at eating crow because it doesn't taste very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my theory on it, at least. Well, one of your podcasts, I can't wait until we're doing this podcast, not live because we won't ever do it live, but we're recording it at the new Cyclone Bar. That'll be exciting to do that. Not to put any pressure on us to get something done. But
no, but that's why I wanted to just bring it out, because now there will be some pressure.
Maybe.
We'll see what people think.
Let's put it this way. If we hear from several people that say, yes, I will come and drink there on a regular basis, then that will only spur us on to do something quicker. So if you like the idea and want to come out and have some, I think we should have popcorn. It should be colored red and gold.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm a marketing guy.
Yeah, you've got some ideas.
Not only can I write a check, I can come up with a couple of things that will make it unique and fun. And I think we should have nut cups, and we should just sell them. They should be behind the bar, and if you want to buy one,
You rent a nut cup during an Iowa State game that you're there. You put it on at the bar.
And then croquet sticks to like hit each other in the nuts.
You know how we would likely get in trouble, and I'm not advocating for this, but just my mind is wandering at the moment. But imagine a world in which you go in to use the urinals, and instead of urinal cakes, you've got Hawkeye logoed urinal cakes, so you can take a leak on the Hawks.
That's genius.
God, I love these
things like that, man.
Who makes these urinal cakes?
Oh, you can get that made.
You can?
You want a urinal cake? I can have one by 3 o'clock this afternoon.
So you think...
It reminds me of I Love You Man, I think. He's like, I know that guy. I pissed on his face today.
Yeah. I know a guy.
I know.
I've been accused of being that guy. Like someone says, you need something. I'm like, yeah, I know a guy. I mean, it helps to know a guy
in almost everything.
You're like Cosmo Kramer with Bob Sacamano.
Absolutely. I know a guy, Cosmo Kramer. I'm actually thinking about if you would accept it. So I told you the things that I bought the other day. I sent you a picture.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm going to get those framed. So to Phil Gray, and I bought for a future office, either in my new home or at an actual office, I bought blueprints off of Etsy. They're like 13 by 19, pretty good size, really well done, but they're famous blueprints from television shows. So it's like the blueprint of the Cheers bar in the Mad Men office and the Brady Bunch house.
How much
house.
Did you spend on those, if you don't mind me asking?
With shipping, they're about $52 a piece, probably. And then you got to pay to frame them. And that's where things get expensive. Because framing 6 pieces of art,
it's expensive.
Done well, will cost some money, for sure. But I was thinking that I don't know if I need all 6. I was actually thinking about giving you the Seinfeld one as a gift. Because one of those is Seinfeld. It's Seinfeld's apartment.
My heart just dropped.
Then the hallway, and then Kramer's apartment right next to it.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it's the type of art that's like unique enough where not everybody has it. You just don't go to Target and buy it. So I like unique things like that that people ask questions about or it's conversation.
Put that down in the cave.
So I might, if you have a spot for it, I might.
Oh, I got a spot for it.
I might.
I don't want to steal your Seinfeld art, though.
Put it right next to Austin Arnott jersey.
Do I have one of those?
I thought you did. Whose jersey is hanging up down there?
No, that's Brett Meyer.
Oh, Brett Meyer.
Because I sacked him in 7th grade.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Brett even admits it.
His moment of glory.
You sacked nobody in 7th
grade. No, I did. I was defensive end.
Was it like Strahan sack at Brett Favre to get the record where like Brett just like falls to the ground and Strahan like touches
Frankly,
him?
Frankly, I think what happened is like it was totally a blown assignment by like the running back or something. I beat the tackle.
Was his running back Devondrick Neely?
No, but Tom Schmeling was on the offensive line.
Oh, really?
Cyclone.
Yeah.
So I think what happened was I either beat the tackle or more than likely the tackle fell down or something. And tight end was on the other side. And the running back totally blew the assignment as far as help goes. And I sacked Brett Meyer.
You were actually able to take him to the ground?
Yes.
Really?
He wasn't very big. Brett didn't hit a growth spurt until like his freshman year of high school.
Oh, okay. That makes
he used to just be a little guy. Yeah. Well, I mean, he wasn't little, but I was probably bigger than him at the time.
Yeah, okay.
And then he shot up and turned into Brett Meyer.
If you had like a 40-yard running start right now, do you think you could tackle Brett Meyer?
No.
40-yard running start.
What if you could run a 4.3 like Charter to get going? Like you had that extra momentum.
Yeah, then I could.
never claimed a 4.3. Never claimed it.
No, he said 4.2.
4.2?
I'm not Deion Sanders. But
Prime time.
In the 4.4s. Better bet your ass on that one.
All right, we need to go.
Not only that, but I can still hit 3-pointers. That's another thing we need to do.
Gray's seen me. If I get on a roll.
So here's what we're going to do. Before I leave today, after we've stopped recording, so no one gets to hear this conversation, but we need to find a date for golf and the Shittily D. We also need to at least plan a meeting.
Mark's into the Shittily D.
We need to further
He's
the bar.
He's going to be so disappointed. He's going to be so disappointed.
I know exactly what to expect. We're going to be good. We need to further the discussions on the bar, so we also got to plan a lunch. So you guys better be prepared, because I'm tired of the we'll get it figured out later.
Dude, I'm sorry. There's been some
dynamic
stuff.
Well, that stuff's done now.
No, it's not. There's a freaking coaching search going on.
Yeah. Now we know who the coach is going to be. Come on.
You have nothing to report on, and when you do report, you get yelled at.
See, now you're adding to the rhetoric. That's simply not true.
It will be TJ. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
It might, dude. They're interviewing like 5 guys.
They have to look good. They have.
There's that whole president, and he's all about casting the net.
You know what looks worse?
Which he
though?
Should.
You know what looks worse is hiring. What's worse is hiring TJ, getting him all excited, pumped about the future, bringing him back, his family, and then saying, oh, by the way, now you're also out of a job.
Yeah.
Oh, he would be out of a job.
Well, whoever the coach is would be an idiot to not retain him, but, like, would he want to stay? That's the question.
Probably not.
If you hire Bryce Drew over him, like, I wouldn't stay.
I don't think he'll stay.
I would take my check and get the hell out of here.
They're not hiring Bryce Drew.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, but no, he's not staying. If he's not the head coach, there's no way he's staying. I don't see that at all.
All right, we need to wrap it up. Thanks, Mark.
It feels good to be back.
June 26th.
Yep.
And
put it on the calendars.
MarkCharter.com.
And if you want a cycle and bar and ankeny, let us know.
Boom.
Peace.